Good to see everyone this morning. Appreciate the presence of those, especially who are visiting. We hope that our time now and study of God's Word will be beneficial to all of us. Earlier in the year, when some of us were passing out some flyers for the upcoming VBS in the community, I was next door here in the apartment complex, and I was knocking on doors and inviting them to the VBS, and a door opened up just a couple of inches. Young lady peered out behind the door, and I was going to offer her a VBS invitation, and she said, "I'm good." And I just tried to maybe explain a little bit more about what we're providing and what would be good maybe for her kids, and she said, "No thanks, I'm good," and she shut the door. We use that expression, I use that expression, "I'm good." And what we mean by that is, we're fine, we're satisfied in the current situation that is going on. And in a lot of cases, there's nothing wrong with that. We might be at a restaurant and the server comes by and we say, "I'm good, I don't need a refill, I'm good." And nothing wrong with that. And we might be in the mall and they have those little kiosks in the middle of the aisle there, and if you're like me, you're trying to walk away from them. But the person runs out and grabs you, "Hey, would you like such and such?" "No, I'm good, thank you." And there's nothing wrong with that in our lives. However, turn with me to Hebrews 6, 9 and 10, the scripture reading that we just had. If we're talking about a relationship with God, that's not a good thing. We never want to be satisfied with the status quo with regard to our relationship to God. We've been studying in the book of Hebrews, and what has got me to thinking about this is our recent study in chapter 6 and verse 9, where the writer says, "We are persuaded better things of you." The word "better" is used throughout the book of Hebrews to encourage these Christians to be faithful to Christ because they have a better way in Jesus Christ. The writer also uses the word greater or better. Don't go back to the lesser. Stay with Jesus Christ. And what's interesting about the author's use of that word is that the majority of times that it's used in the book of Hebrews, it's about things that are outside of Christians. A better covenant. Better promises. In chapter 11, a better country, talking about heaven. But in chapter 6 and verse 9, the better is they themselves. You can do better. And sometimes we need that. If you'll turn with me to chapter 6 and verse 9, he had been telling them in chapter 5 and verse 11 that some of them were not growing. They should have been teachers by this time, and they were not. And then in chapter 6 and verse 1, he tells them to press on to maturity. That's growth. He talks about some of those who have fallen away, verse 4. He tells them in verse 7 that you can be like a piece of land that brings forth good fruit and blessings, or you can be like a piece of land that brings forth thorns. And then he says, "Beloved, we are persuaded better things of you." This morning, I want us to talk about the fact that you can do better. I can do better. And that's what the writer is saying here, that he's saying you can do better than your current situation. You need to press on to maturity. You need to grow. And we're persuaded that you can do that. I want to talk about 10 things this morning that will help us to improve as Christians. And the reason that this lesson is important is I believe that those of us who are older need this particular lesson. I think about sometimes when we bring lessons and we want to help the congregation, we're thinking about our young people, for example. And we bring lessons from time to time for our young people and the different peer pressures that they face. And those are good things to do. But what about those of us who are older? We may not need those lessons about you know, drugs and alcohol and smoking and fornication and all that kind of thing. But what do we need? I believe we need lessons on Hebrews 6 and verse 9. We can do better. We can improve. I believe older Christians can be stagnant. Just like young Christians face particular pressures, I believe older Christians can face particular pressures, and it might be that of stagnation or just being satisfied with the status quo. And so this morning I want to talk about that very thing. Some of these Christians, I believe, were being satisfied with the status quo. And the writer is saying, you can do better. You know, if we say, I'm good, you know, there might be a lot of areas of our life where that's fine. But we don't want to do that with our relationship with God. We don't want to do that with our relationship with the Lord's church. Do you know that improvement and getting better is actually God's way? It's what He wants. Let's look at a few Bible passages as we get into our lesson this morning. Some principles that show that's really what God wants. Improvement all along the way. Never being satisfied with our current level of where we're at. And believe me, I take this lesson personally just as anyone would. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. We'll start there. These are all familiar passages. Turn with me to Matthew 25. A couple of weeks ago, a preacher friend of mine came to the office and we met and had lunch and we talked 2 or 3 hours, and he had heard that I was we're going to start a radio program, and I was talking with him about that, and we're going to begin that, and I'll let you know more about that as we get closer to unveiling that in the next few weeks or so. And he said, I want to come and talk with you about some things that would be helpful in presenting short messages on the radio and other places. And he came and presented that material to me, and I'm sitting there thinking, I'm going to have to make some changes. That's uncomfortable. That's not the way I normally do it. I was uncomfortable because I've been doing this a long time. And he's saying, well, you know, you could probably improve in this area or that area. And my first reaction is, well, wait a minute, I'm going to have to change, and I don't know if I want to do that. So I know about this. It's difficult. Improvement is difficult. But we're thankful for the person who helps us. Bryson's coach works with him to improve. Jennifer works with her class, and Deborah with her class at school to get those kids to improve. We hopefully have parents that help us to improve. Hopefully we try to encourage ourselves here to improve. There are individuals in our lives that have been placed there to help us improve, because really that is God's way. For example, turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. In Matthew chapter 25, we have the well-known parable of the talents. And Jesus is teaching here that when a man has these talents, God wants him to double them. And God is going to reckon with us whether or not we've done something or not. Verse 20, he that had 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents. He grew, he improved. Verse 22, the man that had 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2. Lo, I have gained other 2. There's growth, there's improvement. But then there's the man in verse 24 and 25 that said, I'm afraid, I don't want to go do that. And he's called the wicked and slothful servant. Improvement is God's way. And we see that in this parable of the talents. Turn with me to John chapter 15, the well-known passage with regard to Jesus saying that I am the vine and you are the branches, and the importance of bearing fruit for the Lord. Improvement is God's way. We don't want to stay where we're at. We want to move forward. And that is just as painful for me as it is for anybody. In John chapter 15, Jesus talks about what it means to be a disciple. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh it away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he cleanseth it, that it may bear more fruit. Underscore that in your Bible. We're never told that this level of fruit in your life is fine and you just have that your whole life. We are to be pruned and we are to bear more fruit. Later, Jesus talks about those branches that are taken away if we do not bear fruit. Why in the spring and in the fall do we do pruning? It helps the plant to grow. It helps the tree to grow and produce more. Improvement is God's way, and we see that in this story here of Jesus in bearing more fruit. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3, a very familiar passage to us. Our song that we just sang, "I'm Pressing On to Higher Ground," is based on this passage of the Apostle Paul. We're familiar with this passage. Turn with me to Philippians 3 and verse 13. We just sang in our songbooks, "New heights I'm gaining every day." Really? Is it new heights, new challenges, new works, improvement, doing more? The Apostle Paul writes this passage along with some other epistles that we call the prison epistles. And in the book of Philippians, he describes himself as Paul the aged. Here's an older man saying in verse 12, "Not that I have already obtained or am already made perfect or complete, but I press on, if so be that I may lay hold on that for which also I was laid hold on by Christ Jesus." Here's an older man saying, "I press on." Improvement is God's way. And I believe that just like our young people have challenges, I believe those of us who are older have challenges as well. And this is one of them. Where I'm going to do better in my service to God. And so he lays out a specific plan in verse 13. "Brethren, I count not myself yet to have laid hold, but one thing I do." A plan, a focus, a priority, one thing. "Forgetting the things which are behind," and I believe that even includes good things and past successes and past progresses, "forgetting those things which are behind and stretching forward to the things which are before, I press on toward the goal and to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." This is an older man saying that. "I have not yet obtained." So if the Apostle Paul can improve, we can certainly improve. Paul then becomes an example of improvement. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1. Sometimes in the New Testament the word "abound" is used. Some of the newer versions have the word "excel." Are we growing? Are we excelling? Are we abounding even in the good things that we're doing in life? Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1, "Finally then, brethren, we beseech and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you received of us how you ought to walk and to please God." Now look at this. "Even as you do walk," they were walking faithfully, but he says that you abound more and more. Whatever your current Christian walk is, that's great, Paul says, but you have to abound more and more. How can I improve as an individual Christian and as a member of the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ? How can I abound? How can I add something to what I am doing to improve my relationship with Christ and other Christians? So the concept of abounding is showing us that God's way is the way of improvement and growth. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Sometimes the word "increase" is used. Sometimes the word "grow" is used in the Scripture to teach us that improvement is God's way. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15, "But speaking truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom all the body, that's you and I, members of the Lord's body, fitly framed and knit together, that's unity, through that which every joint supplieth, that's each of us working, according to the working in due measure of each several or individual part, maketh the increase of the body unto the building up of itself in love. Increase would be a principle that teaches us that God wants improvement. We're familiar with 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, how that we are to desire the milk of the Word like a newborn baby desires its mother's milk, and we're to grow thereby. We don't ever want to stagnate. We don't ever want to be satisfied with the status quo. We find that the Hebrew writer is saying that you're going to be drifting away from Christ. If you're just satisfied with the status quo, you're going to find yourself drifting. Can I improve in my attendance? Can I improve in my volunteer work? Can I improve in obeying the gospel for the first time? Or is it, I'm good? Improvement is God's way. He wants us to increase. He wants us to grow. He wants us to add to our faith. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. It's easy to plateau. It's easy to be satisfied with the status quo. But God's way is always the way of growth and adding. And so we have the word growth and the word increase. And here we have the word add. Yea, and for this cause, adding on your part all diligence in your faith, supply virtue. It's the adding part that is challenging sometimes. When I was sitting there listening to my good brother give me some suggestions on improvement, my first thought was, I've never done it that way. I've always done it another way, and I've been doing it for a long time. And number two, you know, I'm not really convinced that this is going to be an improvement. And you know what? It actually is, and I'm not going to tell you what I've been doing, but for the past 2 weeks I've been trying to do some of it. You don't know what it is, but I'm trying to do it, and I think it's an improvement on my part. But it also has to do with some other things with regard to public speaking and even the use of the PowerPoint. But my first reaction is, I'm not convinced. But when you give it some time and when you think about it, you realize, well, no, this actually is good. Change is hard. Improvement and growth sometimes is painful. Each of my four children came in to me long about 6th, 7th, 8th grade. They all came in. I remember it like yesterday. Dad, my legs are hurting. My legs are hurting down here. Well, son, you're growing. My arms are hurting. What's going on? Can I have some ibuprofen? My arms hurt. My legs are hurting. You're growing. And now Jake's got 2 inches on me. He's 6'2". Growth is painful. Growing pains is not just an expression. It's real. You actually do hurt. And when we grow, there's going to be some pains. But we're better for it. When we improve, when we increase, when we add, there's going to be some pain. And we're to add to our faith these things that are mentioned here. The virtue and the knowledge and self-control and so forth. And we're to add to our faith knowledge. So adding is another biblical concept that lets us know that improvement is God's way. It is not an option. And so this morning I want to share with you some things that we can do. I want to mention 10 things. They're not all of the things. It's not an exhaustive list. But what can we do to make sure that we don't end up like these Hebrew brethren where we're just drifting and then slowly falling away? We don't want to keep house. We don't want to be satisfied with the status quo. We want to be pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. What can we do? The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 9, we are persuaded better things of you. You can do better. I can do better. What is that? Well, first of all, let's not be satisfied with the status quo. We've already mentioned the book of Hebrews. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17. Whatever is going on currently in my life that I'm comfortable with, and it may be a good thing. Sometimes things that we're talking about are not immoral things. They're not unauthorized things. There are things that we're doing that in and of themselves may be fine and good, but we can do better. Now, in the case of Revelation, they were not living right. That's true. But it could be things that in and of themselves are fine. We just need to improve upon. And we don't ever want to get to the point where I'm good. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17, we know that the church at Laodicea, not only were they lukewarm, but look at verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and have gotten riches, underscore this in your Bible, and have need of nothing. I'm good. I don't need anything. When in fact they did need to change. And so what is one of the things that Jesus says in verse 20? Be zealous, therefore, and repent. The word there means get hot. Get hot and boil over and bubble over with an attitude of repentance. But they had an attitude of, I don't need anything. That's the status quo, and the devil would be glad for us to stay right there. Let's not be satisfied with that. And they're called to make some changes and come to Jesus and repent. And he's going to stand at the door and knock in verse 20, but we have to let him in. He's not going to force us in. He's not going to force his way in. He stands and knocks, but we have to open up that door of improvement. But when we get to the point in verse 17 that we say, we have need of nothing, then we're just happy with the status quo. And I would suggest that all of us not be satisfied, but press forward. Come back with me to John chapter 15. Let's read on down where Jesus says that we are to bear more fruit. We can't be satisfied with the current level of what we're doing. Jesus says something else that's very important, and that is that we need to be mindful of our dependence upon God. We're not talking about some self-help sermon where we just do it all ourselves. We have to rely upon God and God's Word in our improvement. In John chapter 15 and verse 5, I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same beareth much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You know, we can do a lot of things. We can put a man on the moon. We've cured some diseases. We can do a lot of things. But one thing we cannot do is be fruitful in our relationship with God and Christ without being connected with God and Christ. We have to be connected to the vine. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 19. I'm impressed with this word increase, which is challenging and hard for those of us who are older especially. But what's interesting about Paul's wording of it here in verse 19 is that the body, members that are connected to head, the Christ, we are to be working together for whom all the body being supplied and knit together, again, there's your unity, through the joints and bands, look at this, increaseth with the increase of God. That's interesting. Increaseth with the increase of God. It's going to be by God's help, by God's authority, by God's pattern, by God's word, and we'll talk about that later in the lesson. It's not just us. Without me, you can do nothing, Jesus said. And we're going to increase, but it's going to be the increase that comes from God in the way that He wants. We need to be mindful of our dependence upon God. I think that if we'll focus more on God, and this next point is related through prayer, through Bible study, through associating with God's people, we will want to improve and increase because it's not going to be about ourselves. It's going to be what does God want. And so we go to God in prayer. Hebrews 4:16. We let God speak to us every day. We need the Word of God. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Matthew 4 and verse 4. And so more dependence upon God, and then leading to more association with God, we're going to improve. But when it's the things of my life and my world and my schedule, then we find ourselves not growing the way we should. We can do better when we're not satisfied with the status quo and when we associate more with God and recognize and realize our dependence upon Him. And seriously, not just casually reading God's Word, but reading it for daily guidance. And not just offering a quick little prayer, but pouring our heart out to God in those things that we need. And then associating with other Christians. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, some had made the custom of forsaking the assembling. And they're weak, and they're drifting, and they're falling away. But when we're here, the Hebrew writer says there that we can provoke or stir up unto love and good works. That's going to be growth. That's going to be improvement. I've seen many times in the Lord's church that there's a direct correlation between a lack of improvement and a lack of attendance. I've seen that so many places. A lack of growth, a lack of maturity, and a lack of attendance. It just goes hand in hand. I've seen that so many places. And we're filling our Sundays and our Wednesdays with things of this world and not with being here to worship God, and we're becoming weak. But more association with God, which is included in the assembly, stirs us on to do better. And we have an upcoming gospel meeting. Let's be here at each service. And let's change our schedule so that we can be here at each service. We will grow and we will learn things in which we can do better upon. And we will encourage each other with our singing and with just in our association before and after the service. We will stir each other up to improvement. David and I were talking just before the sermon. He's been working on inviting someone. He's been having a Bible study with someone. Just that conversation is encouraging, to encourage each other to talk with others about the Word of God. That's what we do while we're here. It makes us do better. We need to learn to improve our soul. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. We need to improve our soul and not just our surroundings. We work so that we can have a house and we can have a car and we can have clothes and different kinds of things. And we're working each day to make sure that our physical surroundings are taken care of. But what about our soul? If we'll work on improving our soul, those other things will take its place. Jesus said in Matthew 16:26, what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and forfeit his life? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his life? I think about what we call the rich farmer in Luke chapter 12. He had barns and built bigger barns and he was doing great with his job, but he wasn't taking care of his soul. He was improving his surroundings, but not his soul. Well, I'm working to get a better house, and I'm working to get a better car, and I'm working to get a better this and a better that. Well, am I working to better my soul? When we focus on our soul and not our surroundings, we will find ourselves improving spiritually. I'm going to take advantage of the extra Bible classes that I can be at. I'm going to take advantage of the extra services that I can be at. I'm going to take advantages. I'm encouraging the young men to take a part in the service. Go forward and serve. Wait on the Lord's table. Read a scripture. And I'm encouraged by our young people that are doing that, our young men. Why? Because we're investing in our soul. We're trying to improve our soul. There's a time and place to improve your education, to improve something else in your life, but the important thing is our soul. We don't want to be like this farmer who had to meet God and his soul wasn't right, even though his surroundings were. We might need to remove what's holding us back from improvement. Turn with me to Psalm 32. We want to improve. We know we need to improve. We might even know what the particular area it is, but there is that which is holding it up. It could be a sin. It could be a bad attitude. It could be a habit. It could be a number of things. But until that is removed, we cannot move forward. And especially in the case of sin, it must be confessed and admitted and repented of. And then we have the freedom to improve and move forward. But until we do that, it's going to be like a stumbling block in the way. David, and if this psalm deals with his sin with Bathsheba, look at the first five verses. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom Jehovah imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones wasted away through my groaning all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, my moisture was changed as with the drought of summer. As long as I'm just going to hold this in, I'm not going to be able to make the change that I need to make. Look at the very next verse. What's the solution? I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity did I not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto Jehovah, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. And then he could move forward. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We are to lay aside the sin which doth so easily beset us in order to run the race. We cannot run the race unless we lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. We will never improve, especially in the area of sin, unless we have that completely gone. It's always going to be there to hold us back and to cause a problem. It may be that I need to come and obey the gospel for the first time this morning. Lay that aside. It may be that as an erring child of God, I need to lay that aside. But we're never going to improve while we're just walking around with that load. Attitude, disposition, whatever it is. I believe we can do better when we remember that we're being watched. That's always a good thing. We're to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth, and the people out in the world are watching us. And I put there 1 Timothy 4:12 for our young people. You're to be an example to others as a young person. All of us, we're being watched. Do we want someone to see stagnation, or do we want to see improvement in us? Do we want people to just view us as status quo, or do we want to be seen as growing? Our kids are watching us. Our parents are watching us. Others see us. Do they see me pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day? Or do they see the other? I think that would help us to do better. And opening up God's Word and taking inventory of ourselves and using God's Word as a mirror. And to examine ourselves, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, to see if we are in the faith. And James chapter 1 and verse 25, not just simply hearing some things out of God's Word, but doing that, getting up and doing that. The improvement that we're talking about this morning is not from our own human wisdom. It's not a list of things that I think and I feel, but we're talking about God's Word as the standard. What in God's Word is telling me that I need to change? And then when I find out what that is, I'm actually going to improve and not just talk about it. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 with regard to the contribution. This is an interesting thing that happened with Corinth and the contribution. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Paul had already told them in 1 Corinthians 16 to lay by in store on the first day of the week. And we get from 2 Corinthians chapter 8 that apparently the Corinthian brethren had already said that they would like to send help to the needy brethren in Judea. But you know what their problem was? They really wanted to do that. They just didn't actually do it. And so 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 is actually Paul saying, okay, you showed us the will, now show us the doing. Interesting. A lot of us have a will to grow and improve. And if we were to take a poll this morning, we would all say, I want to improve. And be serious about that. But then we actually need to see some doing this week. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning in verse 7, but as you abound in everything, I wanted to go back to verse 7 because of that word abounding again, excelling, growing, in faith and in utterance and in knowledge and in all earnestness and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace, that is, the giving toward the needy saints, in this grace also. And then he talks about Jesus. Look at verse 10. And herein I give my judgment, for this is expedient for you, who were the first to make a beginning a year ago. They're talking about we need to send to the needy saints in Judea. We need to lay by in store on the first day of the week. Not only to do, but also to will. But now complete the doing also. They willed it. They wanted it. But now complete the doing. So, he goes on to say in chapter 8 and verse 16, chapter 9, the first few verses, you gather up that money and you send it with trusted men to those who are in need. We're past the talking point. We're past the desire and the will point. I want to see the completion of the doing. So whatever it is in our life that we need to improve upon in our relationship in this local church and to God, there needs to be a time for talking. There needs to be a time for planning. But then there needs to be the actual doing of it. And live each day as if it were your last, because friends, one day it will be. If you knew that today were your last day, would you improve right now? You would get right on it, wouldn't you? Well, one day it is going to be our last day. But if we lived every day as if it were our last day, then the improvement would start right now. But usually what we do is we say, well, we've always got next week, you know, next week to do such and such. James says our life is like a vapor, and we don't know that. We don't know that. If we would live every day as if it were our last day, then today we would actually get up and make that improvement because we would want to be right with God. All of us want to be right with God when He comes, I trust. I know we all do. And that could be today. It's not a lesson for, I'll think about doing it next week, or I'll think about doing it next month. We see people, David and I were talking about this, friend who came, then shortly later passed away. We don't know when our time is coming. We don't know when the Lord is coming. We don't know when we're going to be driving down Wilma Rudolph and bam, somebody hits us from the side and that's it. And so if we live each day as if it were our last, one day it will be, then we'll make that improvement starting today. And then last of all, in line with that, if we always live each day with the judgment day on our mind, that there is heaven and hell before us, we will make that improvement. And we will do that before it's everlasting too late. Those are some things that I would suggest. You might be able to think of some other things. But the Hebrew writer says, we are persuaded better things of you. He's encouraging them, and that's what I hope our lesson this morning is about as well. You can do better. I can do better. We can do better. And then in the very next verse, the Hebrew writer says that God is mindful of all of that. And he says, though we thus speak, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and the love which you showed toward his name, in that you ministered unto the saints and still do minister. They were doing some good things. And God's not going to forget that. And you're doing good things. And God's not going to forget that. But in an area where we can do better, let us do that very thing. And when we do that, the writer says in verse 11 that if we will show the same diligence unto the fullness of the hope, even to the end, we'll make it all the way to heaven. But we've got to improve along the way. What is it for you? What is it for me? We're going to stand and sing this song of encouragement. If that improvement involves coming and obeying the gospel, Paul said that you are to confess with your mouth that Christ is Lord. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Step forward and do that. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And repent, as Paul preached in Athens. Repent. There's that coming judgment day. God commands all men that they repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Maybe that's your improvement that you need to begin right now. Or as an erring child of God, if you need to confess that sin that you've committed, and you want the prayers of the saints, maybe that's your improvement. Whatever it is, on an individual basis, on a congregational basis, let us do the better thing that God wants for us so that we can be pleasing to Him. If we can help you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?